I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is AFL Round 22, all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Brenton, you got a highlight of the week past?
Well, it was a massive fight card for UFC, whatever the fuck number it was.
It's always good when there's a heavyweight title fight headlining the card.
Exactly.
It feels special, doesn't it?
And I did see, who was it? Oh, it was Mirko Krokop, who came out and said, everyone talks about being the pound-for-pound best fighter. You know, I weigh 130 pounds, but I'm the pound-for-pound best. He's like, mate, you get your ass kicked by any bouncer, any club on a weekend. This is why the heavyweight division has prestige.
He makes a point.
Yeah.
What did he call it? He said is the king or something like that.
Yeah, heavyweight is king or something like that.
Because, you know, we have weight divisions.
Yeah.
You don't have weight divisions when it comes to running or cycling or you know, any other sports except for fighting.
Yeah.
On lifting.
Yeah.
So anything strength based.
It was funny that Henry Cejudo coming out saying he's the intergender champion, start challenging the females at the same weight division.
Old Andy Kaufman, way to go.
Exactly. But Nate Diaz, who's
Colby Covington's pissed off he didn't think of it first.
Yeah, exactly. Nate Diaz came back after 3 years. His last fight was Conor. And really touched up Anthony Pettis, which was, I mean, not surprising, but still, it's a fucking good effort. And anyway, after the fight, calls out Jorge Masvidal, but not just, he's actually, in his press conference, he came out and said that he wants someone to create a belt just for him, well, not just for him, but that he will be the inaugural champion of the OG motherfucking gangster belt. So he's like, I don't care about these people who've had four fights, got their title shot, they win, they'll lose next week against someone else, and then they'll lose next week against someone else. He's like, there's some gangsters been doing this shit for a long time. I'm one of them. Masvidal's one of them. So we're going to fight for the original gangster motherfucker belt.
So
it's the million. It feels good to be a gangster.
Yeah, doesn't it?
He's invented the $1 million DiBiase belt.
Essentially, put a hardcore strain on it.
And to be fair, I'm more excited about that belt than the actual 170 belt.
Well, because the UFC's taught us belts don't mean anything.
Yeah,
like, here's another interim title. Here's an interim title. We're taking the title off him. There's an interim title.
Yeah.
Good, you know.
And he said that, that's right, the only other gangster out there was GSP. So he's like, I'll fight Masvidal, Nick will fight GSP. We've got ourselves a card there.
Fuck, it doesn't matter what's on the undercard.
Absolutely not. But I'm down for it. Yeah, as long as they put BJ Penn on the undercard, he's done. Put him in the past.
Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
I mean, it is kind of hard to go past all the sporting events, but for me it was Steve Smith. How fucking tough is that lad?
Oh, Jesus.
I was staying up late watching. I actually stayed up and watched that whole sequence on.
Yep.
Jeez, it was great watching.
I thought he's dead.
Yeah, I did too. It looked horrible, but jeez, it was good bowling, though. Fucking hating for it.
Was good bowling,
Jesus,
yeah. Yeah, it was really good bowling.
I'll tell you what, though, when he came back out and the Pommies booed him, I thought that was fucking poor form.
To be fair, it was less than 1% of the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I must have watched a different news highlight because I heard lots of cheers, so I guess they just dubbed that over. But I don't give a fuck if they boo when he comes back out. I don't give a shit.
Well, he didn't give a shit either. He fucking went out and went the tonk.
I was going to say, second ball, he went for the big slog, but he did not look right.
Yeah,
when he came back out.
He looked pissed off, which to me, he's not one of those batters that's more effective when he's pissed off. Warner is.
Yeah.
Warner's angry all the fucking time anyway. But it was also, you just see he started getting a bit of the chat on.
Yep.
And he's going to Joffrey, like, mate, we're going to put balls up your ass. and then, you know, obviously it got rained out for a bit. And then England declared it forfeit.
Yeah. I think that it was a really good declaration, actually, because they
Australia
couldn't just
Australia needed about 250, I think, which wasn't really doable in two sessions.
No, but it could be if they wanted to try. Yeah. It wasn't doable, but it's like, well, mate, if you want to go for five and over, yeah you can try, mate. You can try.
I think that's beyond what they could aim for aggressively.
Yeah. But they had to go stupid to get it.
Yeah. And when you're already one up in a series, you're not going to do that.
Yeah. But you've got to dangle that carrot out there, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they went a couple of overs too long. I think had it been about 220, it would have been maybe a result.
Yeah, but 220 is probably gettable.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's just on the side of gettable, cusp, where teams have to really have a crack. Australia wouldn't have got it the way they batted.
No.
But maybe they would have batted differently. Who knows?
But old Gleamshanks comes in and scores 50.
Yeah.
That's not a bad effort.
It's a good way to put your name in the hat for the next selection.
Yeah, I mean, would you recognise him walking down the street?
I wouldn't recognise most of the team walking down the street.
Well, it depends. If he had the kit on with the number and his name on the back, I probably would.
Yeah. And we'd say, what the fuck are you doing here? We need you right now.
No, for me it was Steve Smith. The guys, people throw around the comparisons of Brabham or whatever. He's the closest they've come.
Yeah, yeah.
I think statistically he's like second best, isn't he?
I think he's averaging in the 60s or thereabouts.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which is a fairly decent effort.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's no 99.94, but that's as close as we're getting.
Yeah, exactly. It's really brought alive Test cricket too. I could have been Harsha Bogle, I'm not sure, on Twitter, and he said, the Ashes has brought Test cricket back to life. It's up to you, the rest of the world now to carry it on.
The Ashes is the only reason for Test cricket.
It's going close.
Basically, yeah.
Going dangerously close.
I mean, when Australia plays Sri Lanka, Pakistan...
Well, India's still a big game.
Yeah. Test cricket. New Zealand a bit, but, are you going to...
Only a bit.
Yeah. Like, if it's Boxing Day Test, New Zealand, you're like,
I think we play it in winter, Monday to Friday, footy on the weekends. There we go.
It could work.
Could be some. Play it under the roof.
Yeah, we'll make it just one innings each, so that way, you just make it, 100 overs, 200 overs, whatever it is. However many you fit in, two and a half days. And, so that way you got some rain leeway there.
You do it like we used to do cricket back in Broken Hill. You have one innings on the one weekend, and then the other innings next weekend.
Yeah.
No, see, everyone takes off Easter weekend anyway, and the couple of days before, because you get, a 5-day weekend then.
Yeah.
So just run it that weekend, and then segues into the Friday, Good Friday footy.
Oh, I mean, week, Monday to Friday. They get 2-week games. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
We should be able to find 5 days within 2 weeks.
I'm sure Bet Easy would be happy with that, and the Pakistan cricket team.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the footy, and a bit unique this week because we start off with the Swans game, and the Swans game means we go to Steve from Twitter.
So, that's right, yep.
So Steve from Twitter, what's his questions this week?
I love how we've highlighted the week and straight into not football, not football games. It's good because you all know what happened in the games. So who are your favourite commentators? One, play-by-play, two, analysts. And throw in some worse there if you like as well.
I feel like... picking the worst is a bit like shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah.
On any given day, any of them can annoy the shit out of me.
Any kind who says, got to lower your eyes more, I want to punch in the face. Yeah. Sick of that one. You can retire that.
I love Lingy as a person, but every time I hear, he's just brilliant. He's just brilliant. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
Spot on. Yeah, yeah, spot on. Spot on, yeah. Das. Yeah.
Oh, here's a fucking obvious point.
Yeah.
And you're like, mate.
I always feel sorry for him because if I was him, I would have taken the job as well. And what are you going to do? You can't begrudge a bloke for.
What was funny was I remember when he retired, everyone said, he's a senior coach in waiting. Senior coach in waiting. I fucking wish.
Yeah. I'd take that. Yeah.
Look, I reckon we're going to have consensus on who the best one is.
Yeah.
And that's Anthony Hudson by
Country Mile. It's got to be Hutto.
Play-by-play, he's the best by far. Dennis Cometti used to be really, really good.
Cometti was good. He's more like a marquee match intro voice now, isn't he?
I think he does a couple of WA games. He does the waffle, definitely. Right. But I think he does a couple of AFL WA games. But I remember when he retired from doing the whole... AFL. He gave his five highlights, and I think four of them were waffle games.
Right.
Yeah. So he's very much a waffle boy.
Yeah.
But I think the special comments or the analysts, all of them are hit and miss.
Yeah.
I'd say one of the best ones is when he does it is probably Lee Matthews.
Yeah. He does it less and less these days, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. But
I don't mind that. I think some of the guys like Carey for one, when he has his insightful moments, they're fucking great. When he has his just what the fuck are you on about moments.
Yeah.
You're just like, mate, what are you doing? And Dermot Barron's the same.
Yes, Dermot can... He has an insightful point, and then he'll just you know, let you know about it for the next 6, 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah, that's for sure. Like, there's, I mean, he obviously knows what he's talking about, but he just doesn't need to talk that often because it gets into the, I don't know what I'm talking about, territory.
Keep it short and sweet, champ.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. I don't mind Dunstall because I think Dunstall, but he doesn't do anything flashy or anything like that. Just, he's what you got to do.
Yeah.
And keeps it simple. I find a lot of the other analysis is a lot of, all right, here's a play that happened. All right, let's make it up what they were doing.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, spot on there, Heath.
See, what he's going to do is, thanks, Darce. Yeah. He's going to make space here. I'm like, no. That's where the ball went.
Yeah.
So he had to run there.
Yeah.
That's a missed kick.
And that, this just goes to show that I don't think that X player is necessarily the best analyst of the game.
No.
I think CTE is a real thing in AFL as well. And the best players are the ones that get hit the most because they got the ball.
You know, actually, now that we think about it, I've been listening to some of the podcasts. I like listening to the Triple M ones because they upload them, you know, the day after they play. So I've got more footy to listen to during the week.
Yeah.
Chris Judd says some very clever things during the game.
Yeah.
And one of the best ones was in the last couple of weeks, you know, Geelong have been up and down, up and down. Up and down,
yeah.
And they're saying that they Geelong like they're waiting for the other team to lose, and I'm like, that's exactly what they're doing. They're waiting for mistakes and stuff. I'm like, that's spot on.
Yeah.
Every now and then,
they're a counterpuncher.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not a good voice to listen to, Juddy. When he has those insightful stuff, you go, okay, yep, I got you now.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, the other analysts, usually the veteran players that are still playing.
Yeah.
Like when Luke Hodge is on commentary, it is brilliant.
Yeah.
And Phil Davis. Is really, really good.
Never listened to Phil Davis before.
I do think backmen in particular are better at that because they have to read the opposition player.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be a forward and they're kicking to you, but when you're a backman, you have to predict what's going to happen so well. And
You're always reactive.
Yeah, you have to judge, all right, well, their wings are coming up quicker now, so they're probably going to go wide, so I'm going to try and intercept that or whatever. So I'm just backmen are smarter.
And we're going...
You had me there.
it's a low level. Like, the benchmark is ruckman and forwards.
I mean, very true, yeah.
But I know it's going back 3 years ago now, but the best analyst on the game was the time they mic'd up Hodgie during that Adelaide game.
During the actual match, yeah.
There hasn't been better analysts of a game since then.
Yeah.
And that was 3 or 4 years ago now.
And I think they should get rid of the tracker. I don't care where people are going. I want to hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
Like, make everyone wear the mic and just pick your best. Yeah.
On the flip side, the ump cam, I'm not big on. But I like the idea, but just the way it works, it's like a shaky cam movie
that's delayed by 3 seconds.
Yeah, and it's just weird.
And it's not for in-game. It just it doesn't work for live footage. I mean,
no, I think it's one of those ones where if you had one of those multi-angle TV channels or whatever, maybe it'd be fun, you just zoom in a bit, but... It ain't something you spend a lot of time on.
No, the delay doesn't make it worth it.
And it looks like they're wearing a bra.
All right, well, let's get into the actual game. Melbourne versus Sydney. It was trash. Nobody cared. Do we need to say more?
I don't know.
It's just... we just saw Ross the Boss getting dumped today. Surely the burn's got to be on Goodwin. Like, I know this is one bad season in what's been a build, but... It's been a fucking bad season.
Well, they signed into an extension before round one. And I don't know how many times I've said it, but that is a dumb idea.
It's always a terrible idea.
And it's worked out. It could not have predicted it to go this bad.
Yeah.
No, but we all had them playing finals. Up there in the finals, too. I think we had them four.
I think two of them had them in the top four, and I reckon I was one of those.
Who are we talking about?
Melbourne.
Oh, okay.
Swans kicked 95 points at the MCG.
I didn't realise until I watched the broadcast that Swans had the youngest list.
Going AFL. Yeah, well, all their old players are not playing.
Done, yeah. They're St Kilda.
Well, Hanbury, yes, but they've got four retirees this year.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can get them. Smith, Jack, Grundy, and McVeigh.
Yeah.
You know, and there's probably close to 1,000 games of experience, plus Buddy's sitting in the stand on 299.
Yeah.
So all their senior leaders are out.
Yeah. Which I think that they've recruited well, so they've actually got a good crossover period where they've run the seniors out, they're done, and they're not actually in bad stead with the team they got. I think they've been playing, you know, for who they have, and the way they're realistically at is actually quite good.
Well, they're a bottom four side,
yeah,
but you go, yeah, but we can understand.
But they've got to see where they're going,
yeah.
I do like how Buddy's holding off his 300th. It's like when you're playing a game and you're about to level up, but you hold back. So you're like, no, I want to level up here. So that means for next season, I've got the morale boost.
Buddy's just edging.
Well, there is, like, it looks like he might play this week, but I hope he doesn't because I think they play the Saints at the SCG this week. But if he doesn't play, obviously he goes next year, and they're going to go, mate, who do you want to play in round one because that's your 300th? It's going to be Hawthorn.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll take Hawthorn Sydney for a buddy's 300th any day, because you can guarantee there's going to be a lot of Hawks supporters there, and they'll forget the booing for one night.
Well, how many farewell games have you been to this year? Because if he slots it in this year, maybe that could really round out the trifecta.
I don't think I'm going to go up to Sydney to watch this one.
Thought it might have been at Etihad.
No.
But, so, Melbourne, what's the deal with them? Did they get smashed in clearances in this game?
They got smashed everywhere.
But except for hit-outs, right?
Yeah, well, Gorn won hit-outs, and I think they lost clearances. Alir didn't do a bad job.
They actually won inside 50s by 10.
Yeah. They're terrible.
Their forward line sucks. Their delivery in forward 50 sucks.
Yeah, their midfielders are playing a different game.
Their backmen suck. Like, you've got three team plans, and no one seems to know what they are.
57 hit-outs to 19.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Alir is not a ruckman, and and neither is Sam Reed. And the Swans don't want to play either of them in the ruck, but they've got no bloody choice.
Well,
the first, second, and third stringers are all injured.
Yeah, the deciding factor, though, isn't hit-outs, it's clearances.
Yeah.
Like, hit-outs are great, but if you're not hitting to your rucks, your rovers, you're not really rucking. You know what I mean? And whether that's Gorn's fault because he's just whacking it, or whether the mids are just not fucking listening to where he's going to hit it, I don't know. But
I'll admit, I didn't watch all the game, but I don't think it's either of those. I think it's the way they set up, because they go, right, well, they've got Parker and they've got Kennedy. We better look after them. Like, no, they better look after you.
Yeah, we've got Gorn.
Like, they were playing defensive at those clearances, which means you're trying to not lose. You've got the best ruckman there. They haven't got one.
Yeah,
you know, Viney and Oliver should be in his ear and goes, mate, you're going to put it at six.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get there at full pace, and there's nothing they can say or do about it.
It's like playing dodgeball, and you get to start with the ball.
Yeah.
You call the shots.
Yeah. Exactly.
What's frustrating to me, though, is that Gorn has to then do everything himself. Like, he's one of the few ruckmen that I think has more kicks than handballs.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's not a great kick.
No.
And that's part of the problem. He bangs it out of the middle and ends up getting intercepted at the, you know, 50-metre line or whatever it is. Rebounds back, and then they're on the defensive again.
Yeah, well, anyway. Melbourne scoreless for, you know, goalless for the middle two quarters. Yep.
And Jordan Lewis announced today he was finishing up too, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think he's known it for a while, but Ruffy announced his retirement last week, so I fully believe Jordan's gone, well, that's his. I'm not saying a word.
Well, I did see for Roughhead's game as well. We'll get onto that, but the team is together. But Lewis didn't really have a great game, but he didn't have a bad one.
He's been a role player this year, and he's played some VFL as well. He's one of those. I saw somebody else say it today that he's probably played one year too many, but a bloke with his record gets to have that. Like, he gets to call his own time.
But you're paying for his intellectual capital as well.
Exactly, and that's why he's there for.
Jake Lever there. You want him to be the next Jordan Lewis, essentially.
And just the professionalism around the club needed to be lifted.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I agree. But you know, they've got value for money about out of him.
Absolutely, I agree.
He definitely has not been a negative on the squad.
They paid unders for him, clearly.
Yeah, yeah. But having said that, there's been plenty of people who've delivered unders as well.
Yeah,
so,
we'll
take that.
On to the next game. St Kilda Carlton, nobody picked this to be an absolute boiler of a game. It was great footy to watch. We said last week, you know, they better put something on in the first quarter because everyone's going to switch over.
Yep.
I was watching this game. Like, I kept watching it because it was close. It was fierce. Even when the first versus two started halfway through, I was still, all right, I want to go back to this game. I'll wait for the other one.
Yep.
Brilliant footy.
You had to switch back and forth at one stage,
though. It was brilliant.
This is where you cancel your Fox subscription, just get the KO subscription. You can get side by side. Just do it.
No, I had one on the TV, one on my phone.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. But yeah, I was in the boat that switched over and sort of was following in the bottom corner, but I was like, but it's still Carlton St Kilda. This could just be shit.
No, it was good footy. Tough footy.
So once I put it on the split screen, I was like, actually, this is pretty good. So I just swapped back between commentary, basically.
Yeah.
All commentators were shit. But it's really surprising that Carlton have got resilience now, which is something that they lacked in the last couple of seasons, because you always had the excuse they're young, so they can't run out a full game. Now they've got resilience, they can actually get battered and figure out a way to come back. Well, composure obviously is a big point of that, and that comes from leadership, and it seems like they're breeding their own leadership. They don't need to recruiter in. They've got people there with a good system in place. Have they confirmed coach yet?
Yeah, Teague signed on during the week.
And, like, it'd be absolutely crazy not to.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were just trying to push down his price or something, but...
Well, I'll listen to Juddy because he's on the selection committee, and he's a board member there. And he said, look, it became that it was, we couldn't look past him.
Of course, right? Yeah.
And they said, we interviewed so-and-so and this person, that person, and he was great in his interviews and stuff like that. The loss to West Coast, where they had a lot of the key players out, I think even Cripps was out that game, and they pushed West Coast. Yeah. That was nearly the one that made us think, oh, no, we have to.
Yeah, yeah, he's got the runs on the board.
And the fact that he got a standing ovation at their, I think, one of their 1970s premiership reunions.
Yeah, right.
When he got introduced, he got a standing ovation. Like, well, guys,
yeah,
that's been made, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really? That's honestly very shocking.
Yeah, yeah.
They were so rough to stand up, or
that too. But Teague obviously played for Carlton, but not for a long period of time or anything.
No, he's a best and fairest.
But, is he really? There you go.
Yeah, best and fairest in one of their wooden spoon years.
Yeah, all right. Pretty fucking
ordinary. Cool. I think
that was under Dennis Pagan.
It could have been even.
He just brought along Teague, Mick Martin and Corey McKernan to try and get him.
Just to do like his old mates a favour.
Luckily I learned from that mistake.
Yeah. Here's some things about Mickey Martin I'll tell you about later.
Well, I've nothing bad said about my mate Mick.
But the deciding goal, or the final goal with Harry Mackay, left foot around the corner on the 50, and the camera was in the perfect spot. That's just absolutely beautiful. And it got one of the nominations for goals of the week too. Just when you do that, you go, nah, you're not losing today.
Yeah. I felt a bit bad for Jack Steele though. He had a fucking belter of a game. Like 12 contested possessions, 14 tackles. He's fucking put it on the line, hasn't he? He only got 20 touches, but
14 tackles is a lot, but it does say you haven't got the ball too, though.
Mm. But it says he's hungry, and so many midfielders aren't these days. They're one-way runners. So when you've got someone who's willing to get in and get the hard ball like that, geez, love to see it. Especially a bloke who's struggled with his own demons.
Yep.
And may very well be leaving for greener pastures at the end of the season.
That's Stephen, not Steele.
Oh, yep. Steele. Well, you never know what St Kilda might be leaving too. especially if they decide to put on Ross the Boss.
I thought Mitch McGovern's showing that he's got some hunger. Still at times, maybe a little bit misplaced, like going for a screamer on the goal line when your mate's had a shot.
Yep, and touched it, right?
Yeah, touched it through.
Yep.
But Big Levi's took some big grabs, especially late in the game when they needed some settling down. Master move this year of putting him down back because he can't kick straight. So
We've just been saying do it for the last 3 fucking years.
Could have added a couple of years to Travis Cloak's career if they did that.
Yep, yeah. Nick Newman, actually, 21 touches, 90% disposal efficiency. Fucking handy.
Damn. And not the first time this year you'd say that about him either. He's done all right.
He's been clean. He's not a massive ball gatherer, but he's effective. Which, I'll take a bloke with 21 effective touches over a bloke with 30 where half of them go opposition.
Yeah. Good honest worker.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
No, every team needs him.
Yeah.
Take him on.
Did Daisy announce his retirement this week or last
week? Yeah, this week.
I think it was announced for him.
Yeah. Well, it was.
They said, you haven't got a contract. I like that when he went out and announced, he said, look, this is what's happened.
Yeah.
I wanted to play on. They said no, so I'm retiring.
Done, exactly.
Good.
Perfect. That's what I love
to
hear.
But you don't need to dress it up or anything like that.
Exactly. Do you reckon you have Gold Coast a call and said, hey, guys? And they're like, nah. Like,
but he played well too. And he's had a good year. And he's one of the few players that I think ever has come over from Collingwood and he's now getting cheered as a Carlton supporter.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's getting the farewell cheers in this game as well, every time he touched the ball. And every time he did something good with it.
Yep.
Well, he's probably the only player on the Carlton list that remembers what a premiership's like too.
Oh, let's see. I'll go through my head. I don't reckon any of the others, no, not many of them played finals, let alone flags.
Actually, I think you're right, yeah, and haven't even played finals.
He'd have to be the only one.
Be?
I mean, McGovern didn't even play in a grand final.
Didn't he?
No, because he was at Adelaide, but he got injured.
Oh, he did too, that's right.
He got injured in prelim week.
Yeah. Yes.
I think the closest would be Walsh playing for Vic Metro or whatever it was.
And that's all I have to say about Walsh and the Red Ings.
All right, a little bit of technical difficulty. We're floating in and out here, but anyway, we'll press on. Brisbane and the Cats up at the Gabba.
Fuck, what a game.
It's
what a game.
It's up there for game of the year, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, the funny part is, you would have said game of the year, but then, geez, you can make an argument it's not a game of the round.
There are other contenders, exactly.
It was just such a, I don't know. It was a game that had, it was all about momentum. Like, the momentum swung, left and right, until obviously Brisbane, who one of the weaknesses have been not finishing out four quarters until this year, all of a sudden they're fourth quarter specialists and just come alive. And especially obviously taking a hanger in the goal square. The
last seconds.
Studs down, apparently. It was. still haven't seen.
We'll get to that.
Still haven't seen VAR on that one, but you know.
Well, Lincoln McCarthy taking a screamer in his 50th game against his old club.
Yeah.
That delisted him.
That, well, got rid of him. Yeah, certainly. I think they traded him for a packet of chips to go up to Brizzy. And of course, the miracle on grass a few years ago was Ash McGrath in his 200th kicking a goal after the siren. This is Lincoln McCarthy in his 50th kicking a goal a minute before the siren.
Yeah,
so not a bad effort.
No,
but Charlie Cameron is probably going to be one of the first names put on the All Australian board this
didn't
year.
Didn't have much impact, I thought. According to Chris Scott,
he slightly misworded himself there, didn't he?
He kicked 5-2 as a small forward, and I think he's sitting about third or fourth on the Coleman.
He's up there, yeah. And I think Chris Scott even gave him three votes in the coaches' votes.
But you kind of fucking have to, don't you?
Well, which is 5-4-3-2-1, and he gave him three, so didn't have much impact. Right. I think he misspoke a little bit and was probably a little bit shitty too.
Yeah,
probably he wasn't the difference. Or he didn't cost us the win.
And the other thing is, I disagree, I think he did. He was the difference. I think he was brilliant.
Yep.
He's obviously going to get compared to Eddie Betts a lot, not only just because he's an Aboriginal lad that played down at Adelaide, but he is a different player because he is such a good lead-up forward.
Yeah.
He could play genuine full forward and does quite often, but he's also so quick and sneaky and with a one-to-one
side. Finds space, yeah.
Such a good, dangerous player that you've got to worry about him every week.
And I think that's fair. I think Eddie Betts, he relies on the ground ball, which around the tall temper he's got is fair, but Charlie Cameron can do it all. Like,
he's faster.
And he's unbelievable to watch. Just when you see him take off his acceleration, his first step speed is just brilliant.
And Dangerfield obviously had another amazing game. It looked like he was going to be the difference himself for a while there.
He was trying to do it all himself for a lot of it there. But I know it's a bit of a broken record to say it about Danger, but he wastes his kicks a lot.
He does, yeah.
You know, he's got a 55 blast kick. Yeah. And that's sort of, you know, sometimes pull another club out of the bag.
Yeah, I think that's actually one of the things that Ablett has learnt. He doesn't just bomb those kicks forward now. He has time and skill around him where he doesn't have to.
Yeah, because every time he tries to put a torp in, he does a hammy.
Well, yeah, that's true. So I found his composure was a real factor in how they got their way out of congestion, especially in the contest. I thought this game was... not even game of the round, but it was a good finish.
Yeah, but even look at that now. I'm looking at the stats here. Ablett had less than 50% disposal efficiency.
Did he really?
Very weird for him.
It is weird.
Yeah, a few of that. But mind you, who the fuck knows how they determine disposal efficiency anyway?
Yeah, it can be a bit arbitrary at times.
Yeah, some blokes kick a 20-metre to the boundary, dribbles out. It's exactly what you need, but it gets a negative, whereas other blokes kick 7 metres long to an opposition player, and it's... You know,
it's counted because efficient. It's long.
Yeah.
No, absolutely cracking. It's great to see Brisbane on top of the ladder as well.
So are they a game ahead or are they percentage?
Percentage. Right. No. Sorry. Change that. They're a game ahead because Geelong have got an amazing percentage.
Yeah.
But what it does mean is obviously Lions are going to have two finals. I think.
At the Gabatoir.
Yeah, likely. They could drop below second, but they are going to have a home final. And they got more to this game on a Saturday afternoon than at the marquee Friday night game for the Brisbane Broncos.
Amazing crowd there. Amazing crowd. That sold out early as well.
Yep.
And they were hostile. Which is, it's fair.
Passionate. Yeah. It's good. And a lot of people, you know, going on about bandwagoners, but, you know, I've changed my tune a little bit. I'm like, fuck it. Bandwagon on.
Yeah, exactly. I've got no problem with bandwagons.
It's bums on seats.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I was a bandwagoner. You know?
Yeah. And still are. Make your team earn it. Don't just be throwing your loyalty behind any shit, cunt. Like, this is all bullshit. This is how they tell you, like, players got to be loyal. Fuck that shit.
Do the Richmond method.
Make them earn your money.
Buy the membership, then microwave the motherfucker.
I mean, I was a bandwagon from 31 years ago. I mean, it's got to start somewhere, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I jumped off many bandwagons, all of them successful, and landed on the Tiger train.
the Nathan Buckley of supporters.
Let's just basically find out. All right. West Coast... What a flag.
You dodged the Saints, though.
Saints. I did dodge the Saints. No, it was Saints. No, it wasn't.
Swans. You had the Swans for a bit.
Swans for a little bit, but No, yeah, that's two flags there. Never jumped on Hawthorn. No. There was...
Was there a Bulldogs?
Bulldogs. Bulldogs were my first one. Right. Very first team.
There you go.
They won a flag before Tigers, so that counts too.
It's, yeah.
Premiership gone missing.
Yeah.
And West Coast, yeah, Bulldogs, North, maybe a little bit of St Kilda in there. And yeah. The Tiger land on the Tigers.
There you go. But you got the joy in the end.
There it is. All because of Matthew Richardson, actually.
Yeah.
Playing a forward flank with long hair, taking hangers.
You're the last one of us to get a flag for your team, so.
This is very true. Yeah.
Pull your fucking socks up.
Probably going to be the next one, too.
Yeah.
Because you got four, I got two.
What, since I've been alive? No, about nine.
Yeah, you're right, yeah, about there.
So about 80. Yeah. Well, no, 88 from there on, so seven. All right, but better than our uncles who were Bulldog supporters who had to wait 56.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On to the Crows and Collingwood. Wow.
Let's be honest, though. How hard was this one to tip? We knew this was a possible outcome, but the scores could have been reversed, and you'd be like, yep.
Yeah, I saw that coming, yeah. I've started tipping silly because I had to, and I was four behind.
Yeah.
I think I went 0 for on Saturday, and I got four for the round.
Shit.
No, I must have picked one on Saturday, and I went well on Sunday. But
I got seven for the round. I need 12 in the last round.
Time to play your joker. I think I need five. Not going to happen.
No.
But anyway, at times, watching Collingwood, it looked like a canter. It looked like training runs.
Yeah, I stopped watching. I was like, yeah, Adelaide, I can't even... The joy's gone. I'm watching Adelaide be shit now.
Yeah.
Like from the grand final, I'm over it. I'm done. So I'm ready just for a good contest.
And the fact that you know that Collingwood supporters are enjoying it.
Well, exactly. Well,
takes right. away yeah. from my enjoyment.
And also the part that Port Adelaide supporters would have enjoyed it. For 24 hours.
Well, for a little bit. Yeah. It's very funny, that one, for not 24 hours, but about 4 hours.
Yeah, about 4 hours.
That was hilarious, seeing Collingwood back in the top four for a brief little moment.
A little moment.
Yeah.
But they just, Jamie Elliott, Will Hoskin, he runs all day.
Oh, if Elliott could play like that every week, then be adding a star, but he won't play like that for another 3 weeks. It's handy.
Well, they've still got, like, DeGoey might come back in this week, or they might just lay him off until finals, and then Stevenson comes back in during finals.
Yep.
They're still dangerous.
Exactly.
How's Daniel Wells travelling? I think he's still
by mobility scooter. That's how he's travelling.
I'd still take him back. I love the bloke.
Yeah.
I mean, not for money, but...
He hasn't announced his retirement yet either. But, you know, Collingwood are in finals. So.
Like he's holding out hope. I mean, you never know, though. You never know your luck. He could be the one that happens to be right at the right time, plays a good two quarters, and then falls off, but whatever.
There's an old story with... in the wrestling. I don't know if you remember Haku.
No.
One of the head shrinkers. So, Tongan fella. Yeah. Who, Meng the Merciless.
Tongan or Samoan?
Yeah, yeah.
No, he was Tongan.
Or was he?
Okay. But anyway, he was a legitimate badass. Like, everyone knew that. Jake the Snake. I know I've told this story. He said once, if I had a gun and a tank and it was me versus him, I would get out of the tank and shoot myself because I wouldn't want to piss him off. Anyway, apparently, when he was at WCW, they fired him, but nobody told him for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And they kept paying him.
Oh, of course.
Because nobody wanted to tell him. Anyway, maybe Daniel Wells is like that. They've actually tried to fire him for 2 years, but
he's
a secret badass.
Lindsay Thomas keeps getting the letters. He's like, the fuck?
All right, let's move on to North versus Port Adelaide. South Australia did not have a good day. Now, one thing I want to talk about, Josh, 10 goals has been... 20 years
since Kerry? 99.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Benny Brown wasn't in the best three North Melbourne players on the night.
I mean, it's hard to say because you kicked 10.
He kicked 10.
And it's a season high. Yeah. When was the last time someone kicked 10 in a match? Like
last year. Jack Rewalt, last year. Too,
yeah. So it's a one in a season thing at the moment.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I mean,
Goldstein was best on ground by head and shoulders. That's the best game I've seen him play in his career.
And it's not just him giving a touch-up to a rookie. He was giving a touch-up to an All-Australian level ruckman.
Yeah, well, Paddy Ryder, who's a little bit out of sorts.
Off these days.
Yeah.
But,
and a young lad. But they went in with two ruckmen versus one.
And he gave an absolute fucking belting.
Yep. And he put most of their midfielders to shame.
He didn't win the hitouts, I don't think, but he made them look fucking dumb around the ground.
If he didn't win hitouts, he won hitouts to advantage. I'll guarantee it.
And I think he got to about six clearances on his own fucking boot. Yeah. Which,
including a goal.
Yeah, and that ruck work to get the goal was just, fuck off, Paddy, I got this, snap, done it. And if you can get a ruckman that has that weapon, Jesus, fucking good.
Yeah, look, 34 touches going at 88%.
Yeah, that's
a good, that's a midfielder. If Dusty Martin walked away with that, you go, shit, he's had a good day.
Yeah. As always, contract time's up, so Goldie decided, I'm going to pull one out of you.
Absolutely.
Because there was talk about him going to Gold Coast, about him going to St Kilda.
St Kilda.
Swans. Right now you're thinking, look, mate, whatever he's asking, just fucking sort that out, pay that. Because, if he's not, if that's not the best game for a ruckman this year, I want to see the best.
Yeah.
Because there's some, granted, Gorn and Grundy have had better seasons, but as a game, I think that's the best.
As a single game, it's the best game of his career. Like, he's been in All-Australian ruckman in other years. He didn't play this good. Against a team that was in the eight at the time.
Yeah. Then other blokes will poll votes as well. You've got Cunnington, brilliant. Higgins got 38 touches.
See, there's my top three. It's Goldstein by a mile, and then I had Cunnington and Higgins. And then I go, well, I guess Ben Brown has to go close because he kicked 10.
But then also you throw in Jasper Pittard had the best game I've seen him have. He was ducking, dodging. Polek got fend-offs. Multiple.
You should get sacked, whoever that was.
Paul O'Hearn, though, did fuck all.
Well, that'll happen when you're early out.
Even Marley Williams. Scotty Thompson, in the week that he announced his retirement as well, a couple of weeks ago now, his ball use is amazing. I've never seen him kick so accurate in his life.
I'm actually fucking wondering if he's pulled the trigger too soon. Because surely, if he said, oh, look, I wouldn't mind finishing up at Gold Coast, St Kilda, whatever, they'd be like, well, we're going to fucking talk to him.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you?
To be fair, he might go in and just punch a whole bunch of his own players by habit. But hey, that's the price you pay.
You're talking about Goldstein too. If he's up for contract, you want to sign it this week because they got Melbourne on the weekend, and Maxi Gorn, you never know. So you sign it today or tomorrow, Goldie. That would be my my advice. But let's talk about Benny Brown. I reckon 8 goals were from set shots. As well,
I think 7 or 6 because he had
He had 2 crumbing goals,
and he had one that was a mark that he played on and dribbled through.
Oh yeah, that's
so there was that.
Realistically, he had 11 kicks on the day, and kicked 10 goals. One.
Yep,
he's not doing enough, is he? No. He's not doing anything else. All he did was kick the goals. He did nothing else.
But the thing is, though, one thing that us and every other person who watches football for all time has said: kick a goal, leave the fucker on.
Yeah.
Benny Brown, I think he's one of the few players to actually play 100% of the games, of the game time.
He's leading in several matches. He's leading the league in game time.
Yeah, motherfucker doesn't get off. But when he's on fire like that, leave the fucker on. And players start looking for him. The weirdest part to me, though, is Hinkley's gone, oh, yeah, okay. He's doing all right, isn't he? I don't know, mate. Maybe put someone on him.
But what choice do they have, though? They didn't have any. Because remember,
they had 2 ruckmen. Yeah. Throw both of them back there. Fuck it. They weren't stopping Goldstein.
Nick Larkey was popping up. He kicked 4 in the first half.
Yeah, he kicked the first one and then got another couple in the second, I think. And then finished with 5 for the day. Which, for a first-year player, I mean, he's a second-year technically.
Yeah, but first-year playing.
Fucking good day out.
Yeah. It
is. Straight too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's when, I think that's what's hurt Brown earlier in the season. He didn't have Jared Waite there. And to be fair, he didn't have Jared Waite half of the season before either.
No. But, those 5 games a year.
It's been the problem with Brown's career, just not enough Jared Waite.
But to be fair, Jared Waite, mind you, this season, he'd probably get down 20 times a game for studs up. So
what do you think he does during the week, Jared Waite, right now?
play PlayStation. I'm not, I don't. I can't imagine him having a job.
Just go, fuck. What am I doing? Where am I?
Probably.
Yeah. Am I injured today? Fuck.
I imagine maybe he's doing the Mike Tyson thing. Like, he's got a cannabis farm. He's going to sell it off. Yeah. I know. It wouldn't surprise me if he was a massive stoner.
Yeah, he's in West Heidelberg. He's got a little factory.
No, it'd be this high end shit. You know what I mean?
I reckon he just walks up to a physio place and goes, oh, I just want to feel like I'm playing again.
I brought my own tape.
Just got to be ready for next season. So finals come around, just have it. Got walk into physio.
Box full of Lastoplast.
Just have it. Finals, walk into physio, ask if I'm ready.
All right. It was very watchable, even though the scores were never close. If anything, North deserved a 100-point margin, but they were absolutely cooked by the end of it.
Well, it was
who could blame them?
It was a turnaround, though. Like, 1-8
the
week before. Granted, against Geelong, in Geelong.
Which wasn't a belting, though. It was just a grind.
It was.
They got out ground.
The amount of times North handballed behind a running player was phenomenal. With this one, every time they handballed to a running player, it was in front of them enough that the player had to accelerate to get the ball. And when that happens, it looks fucking perfect.
Yeah.
I don't think one player had a bad day.
Oh,
except for Ahern, because he did an ankle.
Port Adelaide, Gray was good.
Robbie Gray? Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I had, he was part of my same game multi. I had Ben Brown to kick more than three, which
he got there.
In hindsight, probably got unders of that. Nick Larkin to kick more than two, and Robbie Gray to have more than 20 touches. And
you got close?
I think he got 19.
Yeah. That's not a good bet because he's going to play out forward. But anyway.
I thought he'd only play to actually hunt the ball, but
Dockers and Essendon. Now Essendon also had the shocker last week and come out, and the Dockers had the shocker this week, which is disappointing because you know Sandy in Ballantyne's last game, and they played lackluster. They were poor.
This is what, three coach killer games in a row. I mean, not the Port Adelaide coach killer. We don't want to really talk about that, but obviously it ended Ross Lyon's career.
Yeah, his last game.
Maybe not his career, because he might get picked up again. I'm not saying he should.
No, but there's only one team on the look at the minute. I think there's still some wounds there at the Saints.
I hope they do.
Might have a better chance of getting Malcolm Blight in there.
I think it would be fucking hilarious if St Kilda picked him up.
It would be funny.
It's like, what have you learned? Nothing. Fucking,
you were looking so good. You did so well.
Although there are whispers.
St Kilda does not pay attention in class, has lots of potential.
Isn't Nick Riewoldt, Nick Riewoldt part of the decision-making process?
Yeah, and he loves Rossi.
Yeah, I'd probably say, Nick, maybe sit the fuck down.
Yeah.
There were some whispers that Port Adelaide might have had a chat to him as well. But,
oh, God.
Really, though, Freo kicked themselves out of this, but you've got to say there's a bit of spirit there from Essendon. Because it could have been a sacked coach either way in this game.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you'd want to see that out of Essendon, because otherwise the media and the fans would just absolutely be debaucherous. They would trash Windy Hill.
And they had plenty of the ball, Freo. But, after the week that Essendon had before, and I would not have surprised. If the scores were reversed, not be surprised if Worsfold was the one walking today.
Yeah, absolutely. Still might be, but in the year.
Well, they're guaranteed finals now.
Right.
They had 70 more disposals. If you can get that, you should be winning the game. Like, 70 more touches is fucking massive.
Mm.
But the telling stat is the efficiency. It went 76 to Essendon to 68.
Yeah.
Under 70 is not good, especially in what was decent conditions.
Mm.
I mean, granted, open-air stadium, but still. Oh,
yeah. I mean, a bit greasy at times, but it wasn't that bad.
No, not bad enough for that. But their efficiency inside 50 was 39, which is fucking hideous.
Jeez. Yeah, they're wasting and terrible kicking to the forwards especially.
Yeah, and they fucking smashed the free kicks too, 23-9, so they can't complain with the umps.
Oh, they can. They'd be wrong, but they can.
I mean, that's a fucking frustrating thing. They had Sandy's obviously his last game, because how the fuck's he getting on a plane?
Yeah, but, fuck that.
But 58... hit-outs to 17 and 43 clearances to 30.
I did like that it was the throwback game for Freo. They wore the old anchor Guernsey and obviously played like the old Freo as well. But it's become a bit of a thing for the poor old Dockers at the minute that I think they played despicable in Pav's 350th as well. And it's now become amongst the Fremantle supporters. They remember big games for the wrong reasons. That players choking, so... it's one of those things. Once you get confirmation bias and it starts to get in the players' heads, and
Well, like the playing after bye for Geelong kind of thing.
Yeah, a little bit maybe. It could be more coincidence than anything else, but once you think that there's a hoodoo, then there is one.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's like ring rust.
As soon as you're worried about it, it becomes a thing.
Yeah.
On to the Sunday games. We got the Tigers and the Eagles at the MCG, and I went to this game and sitting amongst the Tiger faithful. It was steady rain from the second quarter onwards, 58,000 to watch a game in the rain.
See, this was like watching F1. When you get a dry start of the race and you see some drivers fuck off, and then it starts to get drizzly, and you're like, oh, if it gets wet, this guy down in 16th with a chance.
We said all along, the Tigers are the best team in the wet.
Yep.
In the AFL. However, they started to turn it around in the second quarter before the rain came. Yeah. But once it came, I knew that they'll get them eventually.
But again, I think that's part of in their heads. They're like, geez, looking like it's going to rain.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a bit of, and they'd have the report, obviously. They'd be like, oh, BOM says fucking clouds are coming in. They'll be here in about 10 minutes. Like, all right, boys, this is our fucking day now.
Well, that's how you knew it. And the thing is, it was a very close game, and it was because In the general flow of play, you can tell Richmond, they're trying to get the ball, it's going forward, they're going to score. But when they reset, they score a goal, and they come back and you've got 6-6-6. West Coast get it quick, and then they're going to score.
Well, I think they only kicked one goal each in the second and third quarters, and I think both of them were from centre squares.
Yeah.
Centre bounces.
Yeah, and so that's what obviously works against the Tigers with their structure, is that 6-6-6 is not beneficial to them. But it made for a great game, and in general play, you just knew the Tigers, they had it all over them.
Yeah. And some of their goals were, to be honest, fucking ugly.
Yeah.
The Tigers
won. Exactly.
And, you know, they're running into open goals and they were looking for ways to stuff it up.
Yeah.
Thank God for Barras.
Yeah.
Because he had an absolute shock. He had a brilliant first quarter. And I thought, wow, you know, Riewoldt and Lynch can cause problems for anybody. They got McGovern down there. Yeah. Now Barras is the second one because Schofield was laid out.
Yeah.
And Barras did really well in the first quarter. But after that, he made two or three of the worst mistakes you'll see all year.
Yeah.
The worst of it being the little chip to Lambert.
Chip to Lambert. Didn't he hand pass it to...
Yeah, that was in the final quarter, to the goal square.
To Lynch. Yeah. And then fumbled and went, fuck, I've got it. Then clotheslined
jumped
him.
On his head.
Clotheslined him. I don't understand how that's the reaction.
I don't understand that at all.
That was, oh no, I fucked up for the fifth time.
And then body splash.
I better fix this.
Or it's like, I can't tackle this cunt if he doesn't have the ball.
Fix this. Frog splash.
He did yell out, just let go. Yeah. But he slipped.
But yeah, especially just the skills, obviously, was the big factor in the Tigers getting dominance in general play.
Well,
and like West Coast, obviously their skill was umpiring.
Got some nice decisions.
Yeah.
To be honest, besides the studs up rule.
Well, I'm surprised it wasn't reported for that.
Yeah.
Look, obviously it's not the reason the rule was brought in, and I'm glad the AFL said, look, the umpires have actually called it correctly, but we don't want them to call it like that anymore.
That was correct, but it's a bit of a fuck up. So
and the thing is, like, there are so many rules in AFL that if you run them by the letter of the law, that's not how we run the game.
But what I like is that's essentially AFL going, yeah, we might have fucked this one up.
Yeah.
But the umpire on the day did what he's supposed to do. Yeah. You're like, well, fair enough.
I can see where he's coming from. But there was one where, like, Caddy had a perfect hip and shoulder on the wing.
Yeah.
And then they called it downfield.
Downfield.
You're like, what?
I thought it was...
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I thought it was a great bump, too. Yeah.
Yep.
A little rush of blood on that.
If they weren't at important times, you wouldn't really give a shit.
Yeah. And to be honest, I reckon the rest of the game, they did really, really well.
Yeah, they let the stuff go that should be let go.
Exactly, yeah. The no calls are really most of what you said.
Actually, even the commentators mentioned that, and I remember seeing it and agreeing. He's going, they've let a bit of that incidental sort of contact go.
Yeah.
Particularly in the wet, because you're always going to get that sort of roughness in the wet.
Yeah, it's a different game. And you've got to umpire it accordingly.
But with that, part of the thing that I think, the stats won't tell the story, but the tap-ons that Richmond had.
Yep.
They're move it forward at all costs. It works so fucking well.
And they've done it for years now.
Yeah.
You know, people, you've got to get on with it. Although, there's a few sockers off the ground, and I thought, guys, that's not going to work.
Yeah, when it's three sockers in a row, you're like, all right, bend down and pick the fucker up.
Yeah,
it's time now.
But even tapping out of the air, like I know Jack had a good one down to Lynch, which was almost sealed it up for us. And all around the ground as well, they just have... Or, like we've said in previous weeks, their structure is that ingrained. They know where players are based at all times when their ball's in contest or in dispute.
That should be every team, really.
It should be, yeah.
I think if Richmond are the best team in the wet, then Dusty's by far the best player in the wet. He just does not notice it. And he got caught holding the ball once or twice in this game, too. You know, his fend-offs didn't work. But he's gone back to the old Dusty. He was, well, all right, caught. Yeah. We'll get me next time.
Exactly.
On that, his fend-offs haven't been that great this year.
No, he hasn't had to.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's had people to hand pass to.
He's been able to do that.
But he was by far best on ground in this one.
Yeah. And what I was most impressed with, especially with the Tigers, was their ability in when the ball's getting turned over, not to use the first option, to stop, steady, turn around, and Prestia was the best at it.
Yep.
Because they're already predicting you're going to hand pass to the runners coming past, and then you just stop and turn around and look, I've got space. Yeah. So there weren't rush kicks around the body. They weren't hand pass to someone who's under pressure. They were actually thinking their way through a wet weather contest, and Prestia was one of the best at doing that, especially since he is that in and under player who gets the ball and he has to set up with the outside runners.
Yep.
I think he hasn't been an unsung hero, but his work can't be understated for setting up our running game.
Well, he's improved this year.
Yeah.
And that's what you want from your, and I don't mean this as an insult, your mid-range players.
Exactly.
Yep. Know, he's not your top five superstars, no. But you get, you know, those 6 to 15 players.
Yep.
If they can improve just a little bit, it makes such a massive difference.
Yeah. Yep.
On to the Bulldogs and GWS up there. Now, I did the double on Sunday, and I went to the two games, the Richmond game and the Hawthorn game. So my only interaction with this game was checking the scores with all the other Hawthorn supporters sitting in the crowd. But all I do know is the Dogs ran away with it in the second half.
As soon as Toby Green was out, you're like, yeah, they're fucked.
It was good seeing Bontempelli get some mongrel about him.
Yeah.
Like, he was seriously pissed off, and he was the enforcer in that team.
Yeah, but he should be out for a week, to be honest.
He should have been out for a week, but the medical report didn't come in on time.
Really?
Oh, fucking convenient that is, isn't it?
I didn't know Bulldogs had that sort of money.
Yeah, neither did I.
I think Gil does.
That might be it too. They always
or Bet Easy does.
You got to look after the favourites. No, Bet Easy want him rubbed out. Believe you me.
Oh yeah.
They want him taking bets off of McRae or Neil or who else? Neil would be the favourite, surely.
Well. Neil, Elliot Yeo, Fife. there's still some commentators saying Dusty Martin.
Really?
Despite the fact he got reported in round two.
We'll make it harder, although I wouldn't be surprised if the AFL was like, oh, yeah, but come on.
It was a long while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, a couple of blokes down in Geelong could, but Lockie Neal's been my pick since the halfway mark, so I'm going to stick with it.
Yep, hard not to, I think.
Yeah. What else about this game? Because I literally didn't see a kick, so I can't comment.
Dunkley was like phenomenal.
Yeah.
Again.
Like,
he's. I think you got to mention him in All Australia. He's been fucking amazing.
Oh, he has been. I tell you what, if you go from the bye onwards, he's a lock.
Yep.
And he's only about 12 years old.
I think it's his third year.
Yep.
Because it surprised me the other week because I was looking at it and I think I mentioned it. He actually played in the 2016 Grand Final.
Yeah.
For the Doggies. So.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mentioned that last week. I totally forgot about that. But he's been a phenomenal out-and-out star in getting his own ball and then kicking it forward and then running it forward and kicking a goal. But this was just too much. Like, to me, it looked like they were too Bontempelli focused. Like, they were trying to beat him up. And it's like, guys, win the fucking footy.
Yeah.
Then worry about talking smack.
Remember Brisbane versus Port when they did that to Lockie Neal?
Yeah, that's right.
And got thumped?
Yeah.
What happened here?
Yeah, basically, exactly the same thing.
Horrible weekend for Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah,
well, sitting in the crowd and he can't play, and Benny Brown kicks a lazy ten.
Exactly, and he was given like obviously some special comments, whatnot, when the porter came around.
Yeah, those comments were whatever. Fuck.
Yeah, it was basically shit. I don't know, fuck. But Bulldogs, they're looking like the Brisbane of last season.
Yeah,
where you finish off strong, go into a new season, and you really are unpredictable.
They are a chance to make finals, and I tell you, if they do, they'll be a lot more dangerous than either SA team or Essendon.
They're odds on to make finals because they're sitting eighth at the minute, and they play Adelaide in.
Are they really?
Is it Ballarat?
Yeah, and Adelaide need to win to play
and get percentage.
Win by more than 20, I think. Roughly?
Well, it depends on what happens in the other games.
Yeah. If they win by less than 20, Port get in. And if they lose, then Bulldogs are in and they're...
Right. Well, they're not winning, so...
Yeah. No, Bulldogs win, they're in. Bulldogs lose, then it comes down to percentages.
Yeah. Right, so Bulldogs are in, basically.
I think so.
Shit.
Well, we'll talk about the game later, but they're going to fucking kill.
Red hot chance, Bulldogs.
And if they get in, like, they could worry a few teams.
The worst thing that'll happen to the Bulldogs is a week off.
I think that's their plan, though. They've won the premiership from seventh.
Yeah.
What better can you do?
The worst thing,
eighth.
The worst thing for them. Done. The worst thing for them is having a week off. Like, they've got momentum. They're crushing it. They do not want that week off.
How fucking great would it be to see a Bulldogs versus Brisbane grand final?
Incredible. I'm there.
Incredible.
I'm in.
Because that would be a fucking terrier of a game.
Plus, heaps easier tickets.
I might get freebies. Yeah.
You can get a membership now. You're shoo-in. Either team.
In the final game, Hawthorn versus the Suns, it was just one big love fest for Ruffy.
Yep.
It was fantastic to be there. Because
fucking Gunston the cunt. Intercepting a mark to Roughhead. I've never seen a player look more disappointed about a forward in 50 himself. Mark.
And I've never seen a player get booed by his own fans. Because he did. Absolutely he did.
He didn't feel bad enough to handball off, though. Oh, shit, no.
No, he couldn't.
Roughhead was pissed off, though. He's like, fucking dickhead.
He just went, it's hard to talk about anything else because that's all the focus was.
Yeah.
Because all those happened, really. Yeah, pretty much. Every Gold Coast Suns goal was just like, there was nothing.
Yeah.
And they did that.
Huh. Even at half time, like, Ruffy's kicked two goals, and I went, oh, shit, what's the score? And we went, oh, we're up by 50? Yeah. It just didn't matter.
It just did not matter.
It was Chad Wingard played a brilliant game, and he's the one that broke out of the centre square and went, right, where is he? And just kicked it straight to Ruffy. He didn't even look at anybody else.
Yeah.
And
that's where Ruffy got his first contract extension.
And what I liked was, because obviously Wingard's first year at Hawthorn, so he hasn't been there through all the times. When Ruffy kicked that first goal, he was the first one there.
Yeah.
So you can see he's enjoying his footy and his body's right.
Well, we also know that Roughhead's going to be a coaching position soon, and he wants a career.
Play your odds.
Whether he's employed or not, he just goes to the random footy field and just coaches people.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Gorilla coaching.
I like it.
But geez, he kicked true too.
Yeah.
Lovely set shots from 45 out.
Just snaps around the body. Didn't give a fuck.
That last one.
Yeah.
How brilliant was that?
Amazing.
The snap around the corner, and then he gets to run and throw his arms out.
Yeah.
He has come out and said today that fuck going to Perth.
Yeah, fuck that. I like that. He's like, fuck it. This is Lewis's weekend.
It would not surprise me if he's down in Tassie. Like, he won't even be watching the Hawthorn game. He'd be down in Tassie.
Yeah.
Watching Jordan Lewis finish off his game.
Yeah, fair enough.
Who Jordy interviewed him after the game as well, so I imagine they might throw a microphone over to Ruffy.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Nice little touch.
I'd actually be really interested in how Ruffy calls the game.
Oh, yeah, good kick in it, mate.
Yeah. I don't think you need to be an expert commentator to make the crowd enjoy the game.
Yeah.
Just be a fan of the game.
Yeah.
And not a fan of your own call of the game, like BT can be sometimes.
Gilbert McAdam's really good like that.
I fucking love Gilbert McAdam. Yeah. I think he's brilliant at it, because he's the bloke in the outer who just loves his footy.
Loves his footy.
And
is this still a Roughhead impersonation?
No. Gilbert McAdam, I'm saying.
All right.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, on listening to the West Coast Eagles and Richmond game, Tony Armstrong is his first commentary for Triple M.
Yep.
And they made a bit of hoopla about it because he's an Indigenous lad. You know, he's only been commentating for 1 or 2 years.
Yep.
Really good, because he did nothing wrong.
Yep.
And he didn't talk about, you know, what he did out in the car park and back in the day and all that. He just called the footy. And I'm like, yep, mate, you got my vote.
Exactly.
Anyway, there you go.
I'll have a commentator knows when to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And just talk about the footy,
exactly.
mate.
Exactly. It's all good. I care about not to talk about.
Is the footy.
I'm waiting until they make an Alexa app or something that'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
I'm just waiting until we get good enough internet where we can commentate and real time on YouTube or something.
The other funny thing about this game,
three quarters were pissed.
That's when it gets interesting.
The only other funny thing about this game was Big Boy McAvoy, who played centre half back for the entire day.
Because fuck it, why not?
Of course, yeah.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, you can tell that they're really taking the piss and how bad Gold Coast are travelling when you got your number one ruckman. You're going, play backs, mate.
It isn't. I think Witz is up for contract renewal, so Big Boy's looked after him
and just not rucked.
Said, look, you take on Segs. You probably have a bit of a touch-up, but get your three-year deal and good luck.
Just bring your entire back line up to centre-half back, and that's where it stops, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've still got some buffer zone before they score.
Love to see that.
I did a lot of that, to be
honest. Morning, guys, 666. No, fuck it, we'll take the free kick.
They say Hawthorn won by 70 and didn't play well.
Yep.
But it wasn't about that, it was all about Ruffy. All right, let's do a quick roundup for round 23.
The thing I like about round 23, every game is live in some way. Except for Saint Swans.
Yeah, well, that's why they could have something for that. But we'll start with Collingwood and Essendon on Friday night at the G.
Essendon need to win to make sure they're
secure in finals. They can't drop out. The lowest they can finish is 8th, I think.
Yeah, but they want to try and boost up a bit.
Yeah.
I think they can finish as high as 4th.
You want to go into finals on winning form.
Plus, no one knows what Essendon wants, don't pretend.
Yeah. But also, I think... Collingwood can drop out of the top four if they lose.
Yeah.
They're already out,
They're fifth at the minute.
Yep.
If they win, they're a chance to be in the top four.
Yeah.
So the game's live there, and
It's a tough call.
It is. I mean, yeah. I'm going to say Collingwood. But
see, I don't pick either of these teams during the season, so I'm going to pick Essendon because it benefits Tigers most.
There we are. There we are. Yep.
See, I think Collingwood, just because Pendlebury's in form again, and when he's in form, they tend to look fucking good.
Yeah, they do look good. The Swans and St Kilda. Now, the one thing that could be watching this game, there's a lot of farewells for the Swannies.
Right.
And it is good that Dan Hannabury's going to be up there and playing, so yeah, he gets to be on the same field. And if Buddy wants to play, it's his 300th.
And Saints don't want to win, so I think that seals it.
Don't care. Well, Ratton wants to win.
Yeah, but Saints don't.
Do you think...
they don't really.
It's a bit cheeky for Rossi Lyon to be in the crowd.
I think it's a bit cheeky for me in the coach's box.
Do you think Brad looks over me?
See, I'm picking the Swans based on all that.
Yeah, it's got to be the Swans.
At the G, yeah. At SCG, right?
SCG, yeah. North and Melbourne down at Ballarat. So what's in for this game then?
Coleman.
Yeah, absolutely it is, yeah.
Brown's up on Cameron by four.
Three or four, yeah.
And he's up on Tom Lynch by nine. Yeah. So you have to say, he's got Lynch covered.
I think so.
We're playing Brisbane, so yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Cameron, and they're playing Gold Coast.
If Cameron plays.
But Cameron on one leg can kick five against Gold Coast.
Yes, he can, very easily.
But GWS, do you risk him thinking if he pulls up stiff, you're in trouble finals?
He's not going to play finals, yeah. I reckon they're going to leave him in the stands.
It's a tough call. Like, if you're full forward, you're not playing to win a Coleman, but you fucking like him.
You like him. And at the same time, though, you're playing Gold Coast, so you don't need him.
Yeah, but also, you're playing Gold Coast, you don't need to go flat out to kick a bag either.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I mean, Ravi kicked six last week.
I wouldn't be surprised if...
And was blowing up.
If this sort of determined... Because it's a day game, North v Melbourne, and if Brown kicks five, you'd be like, Jezza,
don't worry. Q
in the rack, mate. Yeah. You're not kicking 15. let's not fuck about. They might even have it in there. It's like, all right, if you need to kick less than seven, we'll give you a run. But if it's more than seven, you hit the pine, mate.
Let's be honest, though. A fully fit Cameron against the Gold Coast, he could kick 15.
Yep.
A fully fit Cameron, yes. Yes, he could.
Yeah. Anyway, North are going to do the deal against Melbourne?
Probably.
I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but it'll be a fucking belting.
Yeah, I think so too. Geordie Lewis's last game. Geelong and Carlton at Goomba. Geelong they're probably going
to
win.
Yeah. Knee percentage to finish second. Or potentially first.
They've got percentage, but it comes down to the minor premiership is out of their hands, really.
Yeah, Brisbane need to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they've got a 12% gap.
Yeah.
So they've got a fair bit of gap. But the S percentage doesn't hurt.
No.
Yeah.
I think they've got this one covered. Daisy's last game as well. Gold Coast and the Giants. Well, I think we've pretty much already talked about that one.
Yep.
Yeah. Cameron's the aspect.
If he plays.
The problematic part, though, is all the talk is about Patton, who's saying, no, not playing this year, which is fucking wild.
I think so, too.
For a team still in finals.
Yeah.
Footy. He's leaving the club. Like, you can't say I'm not playing when a club's in finals and you're going to stay at the club. It's just not going to fucking happen.
I'm going to think. I think he's already done some of his Hawthorn team photos.
Yeah, he's got the merch ready. But with that, like, he's like, I don't want to fly
to Gold Coast.
To Gold Coast, which
is a terrible place, isn't it? Hate the sun. hate the girls.
I think he'd drive there in an hour and a half. Yeah. But, whatever. But on the odd chance that GWS win their first week of finals, manage to get through to grand final, and he's like, I'm fit now, guys.
Fuck off.
You can fuck off.
No.
But if you're a player and you make that call, it's just fucking wild.
Yeah, I don't know if the reports are true or not, but if they are, and by all accounts it sounds like they are, I think it is kind of poor.
Yeah.
They're saying, but he doesn't trust the fitness staff and the medicos, and he doesn't want to ruin himself before a trade. I'm like, you're a fucking footballer, mate.
Yep, this is what you're getting paid to do.
This is what you're paid to do. And that's my view on it, even though it looks like my club could benefit from it.
Yeah, and
play your footy.
You don't want someone like that in club.
Exactly.
And the trainers aren't the ones getting him injured.
No.
They might make him longer recovery, but they're not getting him injured. He's doing that himself.
He's done ACLs. It's not like a soft tissue that you go, you know what, your training loads are too heavy or something like that. They're ACLs.
Yeah.
So I hope it's not true, those rumours, but if they are... I do think it is a little cross.
Yeah, I think it's piss poor.
Yeah. Anyway, Giants are easy. Eagles are hosting Hawthorn.
I do like this match too.
Because Eagles could finish with a minor premiership.
Hawthorn is still a math chance, are they?
Hawthorn win and Bulldogs lose, they're likely to go in. Then it comes down to percentages again.
Yeah, so there is something to play for this game too, which is going to be fucking fantastic.
Let's face it, Hawthorn's not winning.
Well, I'm putting money on it.
Well, your full forward kicked six last week and you drop him, so.
Yeah, he's like, fuck, they're not playing for this team anymore. I don't care if they play finals.
I am tipping Hawthorn because I am five behind. But West Coast in a canter.
Yeah, I see West Coast in that one.
It absolutely should be.
Especially after they lost last week. Bulldogs are going to take Adelaide down the highway to
Mars, apparently.
Bendigo.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Speaking of in a canter, this should be a fucking schmozzle.
Well, it could get ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, it could get very ugly.
It should, especially because Adelaide are used to the nicely curated Adelaide Oval. Western Bulldogs are used to playing in the street. So they're going to be...
It'll be shit weather because it's Bendigo.
Yeah.
Is it Ballarat?
No, Ballarat.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Mars. It says Mars.
Ballarat. I'm pretty sure it's Ballarat. It's
taking on face value.
I think it is Ballarat.
Bendigo doesn't need the money for stadiums. Right. They have sponsorships.
I'm hoping this is worse than both North Melbourne and whoever the fuck else scored fuck all. Essendon, that's right. How did I forget that? Put together.
Yeah, they could do it too. And also, Adelaide are dealing with a bit of an exodus themselves. Josh Jenkins apparently is vying with John Patton's role at Hawthorn.
To be fair, he got dropped first, though, three or four times.
Do you think he's just in line there and they're both waiting to speak to Kako? And they're like, oh, is he first? You can't.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's only one of them. You can't have them both.
Well, I mean, you can. You probably get fucking discount.
Silly.
And also, one of the Crouch brothers is looking at leaving or some shit. I don't know.
Allegedly, yeah. Lots of whispers coming out of Adelaide.
Yeah, ever since Jenkins decided he was free.
So Bulldogs easy?
Yeah.
Tigers and the Lions at the MCG in by far the match of the round.
Oh, I love this one.
Could be match of the season already. Have you checked the weather forecast?
60% afternoon.
I think if there's a team that can combat Richmond's game in the wet, it's Brisbane. They look brutal in that sort of aspect.
Yeah.
I
tell you what, Grimes on Cameron is a great matchup. When he went down in the West Coast game, we thought, nah, that's it for the Tigers. You know, they've managed.
Didn't look good that landing.
No, it looked horrible. And I thought, you know, they lost Rance and they found a way to work around it. They can't lose Grimes as well.
No,
he came back and his first kick was just a standard, you know, switching kick to nowhere.
Yep.
It got the biggest cheer of the day.
Absolutely.
Stephen Martin on Soldo would be interesting too.
Oh, I think
Soldo's had a good couple of weeks.
He has. Stephen Martin's a big Melbourne
Chole. Yeah, Melbourne Chole. He's covering the ground really, really well.
Yeah.
And he's a decent field kick as well.
Yeah.
Where's, he's one year.
Up a couple of goals here and there.
Where's Chole actually from? I remember seeing the... No, I know it's one of the sub-African countries or whatever.
Yeah.
But we're seeing just an explosion of... you know, those lads coming on now. And geez, they're out of the game.
The next generation, mate. They're all going to be playing juniors. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Magic Door's got 17 kids, so you're fucking sorted there.
Mm-hmm. Nah. All right.
It's not my choice.
Yep. Tigers.
Obviously, I'm going to Tigers.
No, I'm on Brisbane. I think Brisbane will do it.
And finally, Port Adelaide versus the Dockers. Port can make the eight, but... By the time this game starts, they'll know if it's impossible.
Yeah, I had this live because I said loser would lose their coaching job. Could be both.
Could be both. Well, I mean, obviously...
And if Hinkley doesn't make finals, his contract says he's fucked.
No, he has to make finals this year or next.
Yeah, let's be honest. He's probably not feeling very fucking secure right now.
They might just pull the trigger early on it. But I agree. He will not be feeling secure at all.
Yeah, so,
and all Port Adelaide's bad games this year have been at home, except for last week.
I wish it happened last week, though, because that means, or in the next day or two, because I reckon that means Koshy would have to coach the team. If you're one of the other coaches, like, nah, I ain't fucking taking on this. Fuck that.
Well, imagine if Michael Voss is the one that steps up and he goes, mate, you've already told me that I'm an idiot for going up and talking to Carlton. Now you want me to coach? Fuck you. It'd be lovely.
I'll fucking do it.
Having said that, I think Port have got to win this one, don't they?
I think so, yeah.
New coach at Freo. David Hale.
David Hale, really? Sack a coach, win a game.
Yeah, I think a third of the teams
not
now...
Not only for Freo, though. I think the rules don't apply to them.
I think a third of the teams now are coached by ex-North players.
Yeah. Go close.
Yeah,
well, a lot of them are ex-Clarko assistants. So
there's a bit of crossover there. I mean, Clarko being one.
Simpson,
Longmire, Teague.
Hale. I think that probably stops there.
Just throw Bell in there anyway, because he's Bell.
Peter Bell? Fuck it. Yeah. He's one really running the show anyway.
Yeah. All right. I think that'll do us for this week.
Yep.
Yeah, run with that. Yep. Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.